calling on this company one day, and the executive for this company and he were, you know, pretty tight. So this executive began to tell him how much he loved to hunt. And he said, "Really? What kind of hunting do you like to do?" He said, "I love to go bird hunting." He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, there's no better bird hunting anywhere than in the county that I grew up in. So we need to plan a trip." So they planned it. So they arrived at his uncle's farm, and they pulled up, and he told his executive buddy, "Just stay here in the truck for a minute. I'm going to go in and tell our uncle, or my uncle, that we're going to go hunting on his land." So he gets in there, and his uncle is thrilled to see him, and they visit for a few minutes, and he said, "I just wanted to tell you that an executive friend of mine and I are going to go hunting on your land. Just wanted to let you know." He said, "I don't mind a bit. In fact, let me tell you where the best covey of quail are, and you'll be sure to get quite a few." He said, "But I got one favor to ask of you before you leave." He said, "Sure, what is it?" He said, "The veterinarian was out here yesterday, and my old mule is dying, and I don't have the heart to put her down. Would you do it for me?" And he said, "Well, I'll be glad to. It'll be hard, but I'll be glad to put her down for you." He said, "All right, I appreciate it." He said, "I'll get her buried if you'll just do that for me." And he said, "I'll be glad to do it." So he walks out the door, and on the way back to his truck, he's thinking to himself, "I'm going to have some fun with this executive buddy of mine." So he gets in the truck and slams the door, and he starts pounding the dashboard, and he said, "Man, you're not going to believe this. I'm so mad right now I could spit. As good as I've been to my uncle, he told me we couldn't go hunting. I cannot believe this. All the things I've done for him." So he starts a truck, puts it in gear, and takes off, and he's throwing rocks all over the guy's house. And he goes flying down by the pasture, and he sees the mule out there, and he slams on brakes, and he throws it in park. He says, "I'm going to fix him." Grabs his gun out of the truck and walks out there. Boom! Shoots the mule, and of course, the mule hits the ground dead. And before he can break his shotgun open to pull the shells out, he hears this boom, boom, boom behind him, and he turns around, and there's his executive buddy. And he's like, "Man, what are you doing?" He said, "I saw how much your uncle upset you and how good you'd been to him. I shot three of his cows for you." Yeah. I tell you that joke, and there's some people sitting out there that know I love a good joke. His name might be Paul Brown, but I tell you that because, as funny as it is, and it's a good one, I got something I want to talk to you about this morning that's not very funny. I thought it was pretty interesting that George asked me to pray for our city. 40 or 41 murders this year. Listen to this. October 1st, 2015. 10 people were killed and 8 wounded at a community college in Roseburg, Oregon. December 2nd, 14 were killed, 26 were wounded at Inland Regional Center in San Bernardino, California. Again, 41 in our own city. Well, the Sunday after the Oregon shooting, right here during worship service, I felt like the Lord said something to my heart. And I didn't do anything with it. I just mulled it over and kept it in there. And then again, in December, we had the shooting in San Bernardino. And I felt like the Lord reiterated this thing in my heart again. So I thought, maybe the Lord wants me to share this. And I want to tell you something this morning, beloved. I'm just sharing my heart with you. I want to share with you what my heart attitude was. And I trust that it'll speak to some of you out there too, because I don't know where your heart is. But we're seeing an evil in our day that I've never seen. I'm not saying that there's been evil in the world ever since Adam and Eve fell. But there's an evil that seems to be rampant now. There's an antichrist spirit that seems to be prevalent now. It's really interesting. Our founding pastor, Paul Gordon, and I used to talk some about this, and he used to say some things to me about what he thought was coming. And I'm like, nah, that'll never happen. Well, my brothers and sisters, it's here. But there's this antichrist spirit. There's this evil that's just, you know, moving through not just our land, but through the world. So I felt like the Lord said to me that morning, I know He said it to me about me, but I felt like He said it that there's some here that are fretting and worrying and fearful because of what's going on. I mean, think about it. I mean, whether you're at the mall or at a restaurant or a movie theater, whatever the case may be, look at the mess that's going on. And if we lose our perspective, we can be fearful and fretting and worrying. And that was me. A lot of you didn't know it because I didn't share it with a lot of people. But on the inside, oh my goodness. And I'll tell you one of the reasons that I had gotten that way. I had stopped reading my Bible. A couple of reasons. One of the main reasons was, and I think we all can relate to this, busyness. Busyness. I have a job that requires a lot of long hours, and you come home and you're pooped and you're like, ugh. So I had stopped reading my Bible, and so instead of the scripture dictating what my worldview was supposed to be, the world was dictating to me what my worldview was. I drive a truck, so I'm in it a lot during the course of my day. And if my radio was on, it usually is on to talk radio of some form or fashion. And I want to tell you something. If all you're getting is what's on talk radio, on the news channels, on your Facebook page, you know that all of it, at least this was my experience, panders to our fear and our anger and our anxiety. That was me. So I found myself thinking like an American first and a Christian second. I found myself getting this attitude of evil seems to be winning. Evil seems to be gaining ground, and there's this momentum building. And I'm not saying that there's not an element of truth to that. But I want to tell you something. It's only temporary. It's only temporary. I mean, I've read the end of the book, folks. I mean, we win. I mean, Christ has already won. But living it out is a different story. I thought it was really interesting. The shooting that happened in Oregon, I don't know how many of you know the details of this, but this shooter walked in to this classroom. This is a student who was shot. This is her testimony. The shooter walked in, killed the professor point blank range, and then he said, while he was reloading, he had shot some other people, "Those of you who are Christians, stand up." And they did. Yes. And it moves me to tears. They stood up. And his response was, "Good. In 1 second, you're going to meet God." Well, good grief. And he shot him and killed him. And that's a real evil. Look at the threats of ISIS, the arrogance. But if you don't have the right perspective, you can get the wrong perspective. So I felt like the Lord quickened the scripture to me. And I want you to listen to this. We're going to turn there in a minute, but I want you to listen to these two verses. Guess it would help to turn there. If you guys want to, there's not going to be any scripture up there. If you want to turn to the book of Psalms. I want you to listen to these two verses, then I'll tell you what psalm it is. Listen to this. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." I don't know where you are in your heart, in your walk, concerning what we see going on in the world today. But I can tell you how you'll know if you're fretting or not. Are you angry? Are you wanting to take matters in your own hands? If you read your Facebook page, oh my, that's all that's on there. Anger and fear and listen, I'm not saying that as a country we shouldn't exercise wisdom. I'm not saying that as individuals we shouldn't exercise wisdom. I'm not saying that as cities we shouldn't exercise wisdom. But what is your heart attitude as a Christian? I know what mine was. Psalm 37, by the way, if you want to turn there. Interesting word, the word fret. I used to think it meant you couldn't play the guitar, you know, because you're not supposed to fret. But anyway, I'm sorry. Duh. That's a bad one, wasn't it? But the word fret, interesting little word. I used to think it meant don't worry, you know. Worry not yourselves because of evildoers. That's true. It is true. But the word fret doesn't mean worry. Let me read you the definition of it. Changes it. Listen to this. To grow warm. To blaze up. Anger. Zeal. Jealousy. Burn. Be displeased. Grieved, or to be incensed. So, listen to this again. Don't be blazing with anger. Don't be incensed or jealous because of evildoers. Oh my. And listen, you may be sitting there saying, not really a problem with me. And it may not. But how about this brings it down to a little smaller level. How about the people that, if you know any, that cheat on their taxes every year, and they never seem to get caught? How about the person, for those who have to still punch a time card or fill out a time card, how about those that lie about how much, you know, they get to work on time, but they're really late, and they seem to never get caught? Are you angry about that? I'm not saying that it's right, but where's your heart attitude? I know for me, in situations like that, what I'm saying really is, they're not getting what they deserve. Well, guess what? Yep, you just got it. You haven't gotten what you deserve either. I haven't gotten what I deserve. You know, it's interesting, for those of you who listen to Dave Ramsey, whenever a caller calls in and says, "Hi, Dave, how are you?" he always says, "Better than I deserve." How true it is. And brothers and sisters, I'm not up here to make light of what's going on in the world in any way. But I have to walk this walk before the Lord. This walk is my walk. Your walk is your walk. And what's your heart attitude going to be? So I had found myself in this place of, I lost my peace. I lost my rest. And some of you may say, well, why can't we be angry? I mean, have you seen what's going on out there? It's a thin line between, and I really mean this, it's a thin line between exercising justice and taking vengeance. It really is. I don't know where that line is. I'm so glad that I'm not the one who has to figure that out. But, you know, your attitude may be, somebody's got to straighten this mess out. Somebody's got to get their hands around it. So why can't we be angry? I found it, for me, when I had that attitude, what I was really saying is, God really doesn't care about this. He really, I don't believe this theologically, but in my anger, I was like, He doesn't care. So we got to do something. Are you kidding me? Really? What a horrible attitude. So if God's not going to fix it, we need to go fix it. As if we can fix something. Dude, I can't even fix myself. We're going to go fix this? But I want to tell you guys something. I really want you to listen to this. God's got this. Did you hear that? God's got this. He's not taken by surprise. None of this has sneaked in the back door and he's gone, oh my gosh. None of this surprises him. Look, he's either sitting on his throne, ruling and reigning over his creation, or he's not. And these are some incredible days we live in. I'm not saying they're going to be easy, but my goodness, to think that it's possible that the Lord could return in my lifetime, man, that's pretty awesome. Or in my kids' lifetime, wow. So I want you to listen to this scripture. This is out of Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. Just listen to this. If you think God doesn't have this, if he doesn't really see it or he doesn't care, listen to this. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, and I'm going to put in parentheses, in all matters. He knows the beginning from the end. From ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. You think he doesn't see this? You think he's not fully aware of ISIS and their arrogance and what they're doing? You think he doesn't see the 41 murders in our city? Do you think he doesn't care? He does. And I'm telling you, he's got this. You don't have to, quote, go fix it. Besides, I want to ask you something. Since when, and Christian or believer or non-believer, since when has man being angry ever accomplished anything good? I mean this fleshly vengeance type anger. Since when has that ever done any good? Yeah, that's why it's murder. Listen to this. This is out of James 1, verses 19 through 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Ouch. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Oh. Listen to this verse out of Psalm 37. This is verse 8. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. There you go. That's the definition of the word anyway, right there. Do not fret. It leads only to more evil. I want us to, if you will, to, if you've turned to Psalm 37, I want us to read this. And I want you to notice something as we read it. I want you to notice the difference that the writer makes between the righteous and the wicked and the promise that God has made to both. All right? Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. I want to tell you something. If you're angry, if you're fretting, you're not experiencing much peace. I wasn't. The wicked, now listen to this. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him. Oh, yes. I love that. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. And just smoke, they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the descendants, his descendants, begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Listen to this. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. That's us, folks. That should be what's on our lips. It's justice. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I want to tell you something, beloved. As sure as we are standing here and sitting here this morning, there's a day coming when the wicked will be cut off, and we will see it. I don't know when, but we will see it. There is a day coming when God is going to set every wrong right, when he is going to set the record straight, when he judges the world by his Son, Jesus Christ, and the wicked will be judged. You know, I don't know where it is in Luke, but there's a scripture where they talk about on that day, the Son is going to say, bring all those here that would not have me rule over them and slay them before me. God's got this. God's got it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. peace. You want peace? If you don't have peace concerning what's going on in the world today, you need to ask the Lord to show you why you lost your peace. You need to ask Him to show you. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. You know, brethren, what we see going on in the world right now, it may look like evil is winning, but their days are numbered. They're not winning. They are not. Amen. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. So what do we do if that's the place we find ourselves in? Well, I'll tell you what I had to do. I had to repent. And there's no other way. I just simply had to repent from my attitude. And that's what you have to do too. Is you have to repent from your attitude if that's where you are. My wife and I are friends with a pastor and his wife that live in Roxboro, actually pastors Westwood Baptist Church. Really love this guy. And he made this statement. And I said, Gerald, do you mind if I borrow that? And he said, please. This is something that he said to his congregation. I want you to listen to this. And this is based on Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. Listen to this. This is his statement. A simple solution for those who worry and fret in a very worrisome world. Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy. And do not fear what they fear. Oh my gosh. Talk about exposing your heart. Do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread. Oh my. But the Lord of hosts, Him you shall honor as holy. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. And He will become a sanctuary to you. So the Lord convicted me of who I was honoring. I wasn't honoring the Lord by being fretful and fearful and angry. It was not honoring to Him. In other words, fear the Lord and you've got nothing else to fear. Then you are radically free to live and love instead of cowering and complaining and fretting. And I don't know of a single example where the Lord says it's okay for us to not love. Do you? If you look on the news, you look on Facebook, especially, I'm going to use this example, what's going on with all the refugees, the Syrian refugees? Gerald, my friend, just told me this. You don't see this in the news. Some, I don't know if it was Taliban, ISIS, whatever, stopped a bus. This was not here. stopped a bus. They knew it had Christians on it, and they were going to kill them. What? 6 Muslim women stood up and said to them, either kill all of us or leave them alone. You don't hear that on the news, do you? Either kill all of us or leave them alone. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. We're going to come up and have communion in a minute. And before you come, I know somebody's got the communion message. Who is it? You do. And I'm not stealing your thunder, brother, please. But before you come to the table today, take a minute and just let the Lord say whatever He wants to say to you. If this is the place you find yourself in, repent. There's just no other way. Just repent and let the Lord minister His peace to you and His love to you. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, Lord, we're broken before You at Your goodness and Your loving kindness, Lord, to convict us when we're moving in ways, Lord, that aren't honoring to You and are destructive to ourselves, Lord. And I thank You for that, Father. And I ask, Lord, that Your Spirit would move over this people and convict them where they need to be convicted of this issue of evildoers in our society today. Lord, and I pray that You would also encourage them greatly and strengthen them. Father, we thank You and we love You so much for Your Spirit that dwells inside of us. Thank You for offering Yourself on our behalf, Lord. We just bless You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.